So 2 years ago, when the Mass was just live streamed and there were no people in the church, I kept in my mind today. And it's lovely to see you. It's beautiful to have the choir and the music and to be growing again in our community life. So that was not the homily. This is. So today I want to think with you about the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. In the Acts of the Apostles, we're told that the Holy Spirit alighted on Mary, on the apostles. And again, it's remarkable to think that at that time there were only 120 people in the upper room. But from that group of 120 people, the Holy Spirit has inspired the church so that here we are today in the first of our five Masses that we'll have here at St. Peter's. And of course, Mass is going to be celebrated all over the world because of what happened over 2,000 years ago on Pentecost Sunday. And that image of the tongues of fire alighting upon the church. Remember in the first chapter of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we're told that God speaks and the world comes into being. On Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit speaks in a particular way with these tongues of fire. And so we want to think about this picture, the picture of the tongues of fire. And I want to think of three dimensions of fire. Fire illuminates, fire consumes, and fire warms. The Holy Spirit illuminates our minds so that we can understand the teaching of the gospel. The Holy Spirit refines our bodies by consuming it of sin. And the Holy Spirit warms our souls, so that we can, in our own lives and in our community life, embody the presence of our loving Savior, Jesus. So let's think of the illuminating spirit, the consuming spirit, and the warming spirit. We're told in today's gospel by our Lord Jesus that he will send the Holy Spirit, the advocate who will lead us into all truth. And one of the things that we celebrate in our Catholic faith is the gift of our mind. To be a Catholic allows us to use our mind in such a way that it can be illuminated. It can be given and have true insight. And one of the ways in which we see this connection is with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, of which there are seven, and I'll mention all seven of them. But when it comes to the illuminating spirit, we think particularly of the first four: wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and counsel. Wisdom is the gift that allows us to understand things from God's point of view. For any of you who listen to Mike Schmitz in The Bible in a Year, he has this tagline, that to see the world through the lens of Scripture. That's wisdom. To be learning to live our lives in such a way that they're being illuminated by the Holy Spirit, so that as we see the word that is in Holy Scripture, as we study God's wisdom, we are then in turn given understanding, so that we can comprehend what the Scripture says. Do you know, there's a work, I think, happening in the church today that's very exciting. A work where more and more Catholics are saying, I want to be able to understand my faith. I want to be able to see what it means to study the Scripture so that it makes sense. And this in turn leads to the gift of knowledge. That knowing and understanding the Scripture allows us then to see the Scripture in such a way that it's helping to guide how I am living my life. Knowledge of God's word moves it from being just kind of abstract to become practical. And this in turn leads to the fourth of the gifts, what's called the gift of counsel. How are we to live our lives in every situation that we face day by day. And of course, this is not easy because there are so many competing voices, so many competing values in our world that can lead us in directions that take us away from the faith. All of these four gifts of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and counsel find a focus in the first of what are called the cardinal virtues. This is the virtue of prudence. And listen to what the Catechism says about this virtue. The virtue of prudence disposes practical reason to discern our true good in every circumstance and to choose the right means of achieving it. So to choose the good and then to fulfill the good is what is at play. Let me use an example of this. Over the last 2.5 years, the bishops of Alberta, as well as throughout the world, have been prudential in saying that we had to lift the obligation for the Sunday Mass because of everything that we had been facing with COVID. But now, they deemed it prudential to say that coming to Mass on Sunday is something that we want to reinstate. Again, recognizing that there are situations where, because of people's health and vulnerability, we totally respect the necessity for people to stay home. But they deemed it was prudential at this time, given all of the information, to reinstate the Sunday obligation. And this is where the wisdom of Scripture, that the Lord says that the day of rest, Sunday, is to be a day that we are to follow, leads to an understanding of how we're going to now apply this in our lives so that we can begin to gather again as a community of faithful on Sundays. So that is the illuminating gift of the Holy Spirit. But he's also the consuming Spirit. In Romans, Paul speaks of the consuming Spirit in that passage that Alfredo read for us this afternoon. And I'm not going to read the whole thing again because there was a lot going on there. But listen again to this part. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit who dwells within you. In other words, what Paul is saying here is the following, that he wants us to understand that we are to grow in knowing our true identity, that we don't live primarily in the flesh, but we live in the Spirit. Peter Kreeft, a great philosopher of our Catholic tradition, put it this way, when we go into the confessional, we go in as Adam or Eve. When we come out like Mary or Jesus. What's he saying? That we've died to sin so that we can be alive to the Spirit. And then the gift that we are given in our lives are three more of the gifts of the Spirit that help us to grow in living a Spirit-filled life. They are the gifts of piety, fortitude, and fear of the Lord. What is piety? It's that desire to say, Jesus, I want to grow in a relationship with you. And my goodness, I know how hard that is to do in our day and age. Those phones that we have, those little computers, they so distract us and they take us away from our life of prayer. How often do I have people say to me in the confessional, Father, I have so much trouble praying because I'm so distracted by the internet, by my phone. And it's true. It's true for me as well. We have really short attention spans today because of the way the internet influences us into this very instantaneous kind of way of life. It's so counter to the way of prayer. Because what do you have to do when you're growing in prayer? You got to learn to just sit there. To sit quietly with Scripture. To sit quietly with your thoughts. To try to focus on getting through that decade of the rosary when your head is like popcorn and your thoughts are going left, right, and everywhere. I know. I experience it in my own life. So for us as modern people, to cultivate piety requires true intentionality. And that brings us to the next gift, which is fortitude. It's also known as the gift of courage. Through this gift, a person is saying, I want to put God first. I want to continue to pursue God as the greatest good and the first priority of my life. And as we're growing in piety, as we're growing in fortitude, we then come to this very interesting gift. It's called the fear of the Lord. This does not mean to be terrified of God. But what it does mean is this, that as we are growing and living the life of the consuming spirit who is trying to burn up all that is not of God, that to live in the fear of the Lord is to live to say that the unseen God is the number one priority in my life. I am putting God first. And I'm going to be seeking to be totally dependent upon God as a child is on his or her parent. The illuminating spirit, the consuming spirit, and then thirdly, the warming spirit. When we allow for our lives to come under the lordship of Jesus, he transforms our minds. When we allow the consuming spirit to work in our lives, we will grow in wanting to live lives of what are called virtue, which in turn will lead to the warming spirit. How beautiful it is in that reading from the Acts of the Apostles, that the church was gathered in one place. And in that one place, the unified spirit, the oneness that he provided, allowed for a profound diversity. So that here at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, before the gospel had begun to spread out to the world, something remarkable happened with these people. They could speak languages they did not know. Now think about that today. Have you ever, as a Catholic, ever gone to another country where you had no idea what they were saying in the Mass in terms of the language, but you knew it was the Mass? Because we're one. And you had that sense of, I don't know what they're saying, but I feel at home here. Because this is the same Mass I pray when I'm at St. Peter's. This speaks something to us of the beautiful way in which the Holy Spirit is like a fire on a cool summer evening. What does that fire do? Its warmth draws people to it. And that's what the Lord wants to do in and through his church. That we are to grow in being a community of warmth and of love. And let me conclude with this illustration of this. Some of you know already of this family by the name of Saeed, Ilam, and baby Rose. They arrived in Calgary yesterday, and I was able to go to the apartment that we have been able to make ready for them. And you just need to appreciate how they have suffered over these last years. And Ilam, the wife, said to me, she said, I feel like I've been here forever. And she served me tea and an Iranian cookie. This is a beautiful example of the warming spirit, of people truly saying, I care and I love and I want to make a practical difference. It's my prayer for St. Peter's that we will grow in loving to use our minds in understanding the Lord, that we will grow in wanting to deepen our holiness, to be freed from sin by the consuming spirit, so that in turn, St. Peter's can become ever more a community that exudes the kind of love that's like the warmth of a fire. And so let us pray. Come, illuminating Holy Spirit, and transform our minds. Come, consuming Holy Spirit, and transform our bodies. Come, warming Holy Spirit, and transform our souls so that we might think like you, that we might live like you, and that we might love like you. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come.